here's a story from The World.
When you think of food destinations, what cities come to mind? Paris, San Francisco, Tokyo. What about my favorite restaurant ever in Bogota? We're taking you to a place now that is, relatively speaking, off the map compared to those cities. Reporter Emily Hovick is our guide as we taste our way through the high Arctic.
We're in the kitchen of Restaurant Polfararen.
Two reindeer, ribs, and risotto.
This place offers Nordic fine dining with hints of Japanese influence.
And these are coming right up.
Okay.
A small, high-quality menu, changing with the seasons.
Cloudberry creme caramel.
Every meal beautifully plated.
Red bean risotto with miso marinated cod.
It's the kind of place you'd visit in a major metro. But we're in the Norwegian archipelago of Svalbard, in the high Arctic, surrounded by glaciers and permafrost.
Amazing.
Welcome to Longyearbyen, the world's northernmost permanent settlement, known for polar bears and research facilities. Today, it's a tourist destination with about 17 restaurants and a dozen hotels. But a few decades ago,
there was no restaurants.
Steve Torgerson moved here with his family at the age of 15, when it was a coal mining town.
There was living in the coal company's house. There was eating in the coal company's canteen. And it was in 1979. That was the first time we could go another place to eat than the canteen.
That was Huset, the first restaurant in Svalbard. Torgerson left high school to work there in 1990. The food scene in Longyearbyen was growing, slowly.
In 1993, Svalbard Crew and Motel opened.
More restaurants followed. Today, Torgerson himself owns a couple. One of them is Gruvelagera, offering a fine dining experience with a spotlight on the past.
That people get more information and more knowledge about the place and the history.
And these days, Longyearbyen holds a powerful pull for young chefs. Chefs like Josh Wing at Restaurant Polfararen.
Yeah, I've been up here for about 6 years.
Wing is from Montana. His first job up here was at Huset, where he learned about Norwegian fine dining.
The simplicity, the quality of ingredients, and focus you put on what you're plating was very, very, like, eye-opening to me.
In 2019, Wing became the head chef at Restaurant Polfararen. And he says providing a high-quality gastronomical experience at 78 degrees north comes with challenges.
We usually run with a very small menu.
Many products have to be ordered from mainland Norway 2 weeks ahead of time. Then
it takes about 3 days to get my product up on a boat. So with light leafy vegetables and like kale, sometimes don't really make that journey very well.
Wing serves as many local items as possible, like reindeer, cod, and ptarmigan, which is an alpine game bird.
This year, I ordered 5 reindeer from one of the trappers that we work with. The ptarmigan I usually get from friends that are hunting locally in town.
The fish, he catches himself.
There are also local mushrooms, and a friend of mine goes and picks and brings them to me.
In the high tourist season, Wing says about 80% of his guests are visitors.
I've met so many people that come up here just for the food up here.
Hi, and welcome to the extreme north.
Andreas Vistad is a Norwegian restaurateur, food writer, and TV host. He's traveled to Longyearbyen many times.
We've shot several episodes of my television series, New Scandinavian Cooking, there.
The reasons for the rise of Longyearbyen's food culture are complex. To start, Vistad says because of the tax regime, hotels and restaurants like Huset could import fine wines cheaply.
Some of these hotels built really world-class wine cellars where you could get well-matured bottles of wine at a price unlike anywhere else in the world.
Vistad says there's also a trend of young, ambitious chefs from Scandinavia taking a couple years to work in Svalbard. Then there's another, more practical explanation. Visitors to Svalbard include researchers, extreme campers, and students. But it's also become a high-end tourist destination.
When you're traveling on such an adventure, you really want everything to be an adventure, even the dinner.
And Vistad says the food simply can't be separated from the place.
It is an almost magical experience to be able to have a meal and walk out into the cold and the snow, but it's still bright as in the middle of the day, even though it's midnight. It creates a kick of euphoria.
And for chefs like Josh Wing and Steve Torgerson, that's a euphoria that they're working to create for each visitor with every single menu. For The World, I'm Emily Havoc.
From PRX.